I had a conversation with somebody this week. We started talking about a building. We were talking about something that many of you are familiar with, whether you've seen it in a movie. You might have read it in the history books, and if not, you've seen pictures of it. Some of you may have visited there. The Roman Colosseum. Many of us are familiar with that giant circular Colosseum, and we all know that that was built hundreds and hundreds of years ago. I believe it's maybe one of the wonders of the world because to withstand earthquakes, to withstand fire, to withstand all sorts of weathering and everything else, you know, the emperor of that time, he had spent millions of dollars, used thousands upon thousands of workers. Even around that time, that's when concrete was first invented. And they had poured foundation upon foundation of concrete to make it strong and sturdy. Not only that, but they had special beams, and every beam was made of limestone and some of the strongest rock that they can find. In order to get some of the materials there, these materials were coming from miles away. I mean, they were lugging these heavy rocks. They were lugging all these materials that were going to make this a fortress. Another thing that they did is the emperor of that time, he also hired some of the best and skilled masons. He really hired people who had this skill to really make sure that its design was perfect. He hired some of the best architects so that this would be one of the greatest stadiums ever built. Even till this day, that the Roman Colosseum is one of the biggest scenes you can see in the world. It's something that so many movies were based out of, and it's still here today. But Church of God, without a doubt, I want to tell you that we are building something. We are building a building, but it's something that's even more durable than that. We're building something that's even more powerful. We're using materials that are not of this world. We are using things that God has provided for us to build with, and we are building the temple of God. Paul says in Corinthians, we've been reading Corinthians this past couple weeks. He says, don't you know that you are temples of the Holy Spirit? We can't let that pass by. God says to you today, don't you know that you are temples of God? Don't you know that you are my temples built for my presence or for my using? Now, let me tell you about the temple. We always hear about it, but the temple is a very, very special place. The temple is a place that God lives. The temple is a place where you can always find God. It's a place where he dwells and he loves to be. The temple is a holy place, set apart. When I say holy, set apart for the Lord, it's a place of worship. The temple is also a place of refuge. You know, so many people that are looking for God and seeking him, they always go to the temple. It's a special place. Not only that, but the temple is a fortress. The temple of God cannot be defeated. The temple of God is strong. The temple of God, unlike any other building or foundation we know, cannot be destroyed. Praise God, he has called us to be the temples this day. We know that by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, Satan has no hold on the people of God. We know that by the blood and the power of the word of God, that nothing can take down the church, the temple of God. And so Satan tries to pull his last little card that he has left. And he tries to get the people of God to defile the temple. He knows that if he can defile the inside, that the temple itself would fall, that the temple itself would come to rubble. You know, when we think about that, the defiling, you know, some of us here today, we might have been cleaned and purified at some point in our life by God, but we decided to turn back and go to sin. We decided to go back to Egypt. Some of us here today have looked to build the temple, but we said, God, I'm going to do it my way. God, I like some of the things that you do, but I'd rather have my will and my desire. And you know, we look in our community, we are even in a community where so many temples have risen, people of God, but have fallen because of sin, because of the rampage of the enemy that has been allowed to come in and defile it. But people of God today, God is calling for men and women of all ages to make a big difference in this season, to rebuild the temple of God right here in our hearts, and he's reminding us of the importance of carrying his presence and being what he has called us to be. God wants to impact our community. You know what? I believe that. I believe he wants to impact the entire world by setting up a monument. You know, just like that Roman Colosseum, but a monument which is our lives. To show the world that our God is a living God. To show the world that God is capable of doing anything. God can place a building, a temple, wherever he desires because his power is that awesome. And he wants to display that to the world. He wants us to be a place of worship for others to come to, for others to find the Lord Jesus and to come into the temple of holiness. And so there's a few things that I want to share with you today that God wants us to see in order to truly build his temple. Remember, we're not building on a foundation like the world. We're not using stone materials as the world does, but the things of the Lord. And so we're going to turn to Zechariah chapter 4. We're going to be reading the first few verses. And here we stumble upon a vision. You know, God was speaking to Zechariah on behalf of Israel. And he was speaking to the people because he wanted them to see the vision. He wanted them to see something special. Around this time, people, they had a temple that was built. And that temple was destroyed. It was by Nebuchadnezzar, the Persian king. And, you know, the people were trying and trying to rebuild the temple of God. And they hadn't had success yet because there was opposition. Every time we try to build a temple for God, there's going to be opposition. There's going to be something that tries to stop it. There's always going to be a person, a thing. But I tell you one thing, God wants to remind us, just as he did with Zechariah and the people, of what was important. He was saying, it's not going to be by your own might. It's not going to be by the power of man, but it is going to be by my spirit. It is by the power of God that you are going to rebuild the ancient ruins that God had set up and meant for his people to be. And so God has given this vision because he desired for Zechariah and Israel to literally see what really was important for this temple to be built up. It says, then the angel who talked with me returned and woke me up like someone awakened from sleep. He asked me, what do you see? I answered, I see a solid gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and seven lamps on it with seven channels to the lamps. Also, there are two olive trees by it, one on the right side of the bowl and the other on its left. And so as we read this scripture today, I've also, you know, drawn a picture just to get an idea of that vision that Zechariah was seeing. And so the first thing that God wants us to see today is the vision. The vision that he had given his people. You see, he gave the vision of the menorah. We know that this is part of the Jewish culture. They celebrate it. You see this during times of Hanukkah. But it's very special. There's seven lamps here. And I wanted to draw the picture so you can see it clearly. When it says seven lamps, they're the seven flames. Now, in the book of Revelation, it's incredible because the Lord says that those seven flames are the seven churches of God. And if you really want to put it clearly, that those seven flames are the seven churches, which is really the temple of the Lord. Therefore, we as the church, we are the temple of God. And the lampstand, this was a very important part of the temple that represented God's people. And what I love about it is it was always supposed to shine. And it was always supposed to continually burn. And now as this represents us, this represents that man, that woman, that child that follows God and says, you know what? I'm going to seek you, God. I can't get enough today. I know I was burning yesterday, but I need to burn again today. This is the person that looks up to God in every circumstance and situation. This is the man or woman who reads the word and lets it fill them. This is the person who seeks God in every aspect of their life that continues to burn and cannot cease because of the power of God that is moving. Do you see that today? Do you see the vision that God is giving us? And you see, Zechariah was asleep. His eyes weren't open. We're trying to build a temple here, and it's impossible to build something when you're asleep. You know, you can't do much when your eyes are closed. I try to do certain things when I'm tired with my eyes shut, but it just doesn't work. Lauren's like, you got to wake up. We got stuff to do. And God wants to open our eyes. There's something that he wants to do here. He wants to wake us up. One of the greatest losses that Christians experience is in their time when they are asleep. It is in that time when they're asleep, ignoring their sin. It is that time when they're asleep because they don't want to hear the truth of God and they push it away. It's that time where God's trying to show us what we're supposed to be, but we're not opening up to see what he's doing. But next here, I love this. We see something incredible happen. You know, Zechariah is asleep. Zechariah and the people, they were tired at this point. They were tired of trying and not getting anywhere. They were tired of trying to build something for God, but not accomplishing. They were trying to push and trying to do it in their own way. And they said, the time has got to stop. And they began to pray. They began to pray and seek the Lord. And guess what? It says that the angel of the Lord showed up. The angel of the Lord. And he woke him up. Said it was like being awakened from a slumber. Some of you have children. And I know sometimes you may be asleep at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning. And you get that push. And you wake up out of a slumber. And all of a sudden, your eyes are open, and God wakes us up in the same way. The angel of the Lord had come, and he became alert. You can tell when you have God moving in your life, when you're alert to what he's doing. You can tell when the Spirit of God is moving in your life, and God's word is evident, when your eyes are open to see what he's doing. When you're that person that's in tune. When you know that even if you can't be in church 7 days a week, you are carrying the church with you. You know that every single day you have the word that is alive in you. And that's what God was showing. God's people can't fall asleep when God has opened their eyes. I tell you, just as in my life and in many of your lives, when your eyes are open, hallelujah, praise God, they are never going to be shut again. There is nothing that can close the doors that God opened. And I love it when God asks certain questions. See, the next thing he says, do you see? Do you see the purpose that God has for your life? Do you see the intentions that he had when he created you in your mother's womb? Do you see the will that God has for you to be his precious temple? Do you see it? Or do you only see your circumstance? Is there a problem or a situation in your life where that's the only thing you're looking at? Are you awake to the world and are your eyes closed to God? Are you awakened to the work that he is doing in his church? Today we've got to cry out to God to say, Lord, let me see. Let me see the vision of the temple. Let me see what you have called me to be. Father, open my eyes that I would no longer be asleep, but I would be awakened to the glory that you have called me to walk in, to be a living temple of the living God. When we really see, we're not going to just be trying to stay pure or do the right thing because we don't want to get in trouble. See, when your eyes are open, you see how precious the temple is to God. You see how dear it is to his heart. The temple was a dear place of his heart. It was so precious to him. And when we see that, we begin to keep ourselves pure because we know how important it is to the Lord. When we see the true vision of what we're supposed to be in the temple, we want to just do the right thing because we know that it is a special place set apart for God. When we really see, we can begin to work and we can begin to build a temple that is fit for God. When I was younger, I remember sitting on the couch one time and Pastor Janet opening up 1 Corinthians like we read the past couple weeks. And she pointed out to me for the first time, we were talking about different things and how we're supposed to act and how we represent the Lord. And she said, you know, you guys are temples of God. And I remember hearing that for the first time and immediately I grasped a vision of who I was supposed to be. And from that day on, I always remember that, you know, I am not my own, but I belong to the Lord Jesus Christ. I will never forget that day that I learned that I was a temple of God that is now being built for his holiness and for his presence. And this stuck with me all my life. Imagine if we gave this to our children. Imagine if this becomes real for us and we pass it on. When I caught that vision, there was a fight. There was a fight all my life to say, is this temple going to be built continually on holiness? The fight was going to be, Jeff, are you going to allow it to be defiled? Jeff, are you going to stand for holiness? Are you going to see continually and hold on to it? And it has been a fight, but I want to tell you today that the Lord Jesus Christ has opened my eyes, and not only opened my eyes to see what I'm supposed to be and what the church is supposed to be and what you are supposed to be in my family, but he's given us the power, the strength, the vision, and the hope in order to be the temple of God. Are you asleep today? Has God opened your eye? Are you stuck on the sight of the world and the sight of your life? Or will you get caught up in the vision of God that he had given his people? The temple of God. Will you see the vision today? Secondly, in order to build the temple of God, we see the vision. The next thing we need to see is the provision. Now, when I say the provision, it's really the provision of God's word. Let's read verses 2 and 3 again together. And it says here, I answered, I see a gold lampstand with a bowl at the top and 7 lamps on it with 7 channels to the lamps. Also, there are 2 trees by it, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left. And the thing I really struck my heart was, if you see the picture here, you see the menorah, again, the lampstand, the bowl on the top, and then you see the 2 olive trees on each side. And if you notice, each thing is all connected together. Now, the lampstand was one of the objects in the temple that had some of the highest maintenance. You can imagine that the oil had to be changed every day in order to keep the flame going. The oil had to be cleansed and made new. You can imagine that the stand had to be wiped down. And not only that, but the wicks on the flame had to even be changed out to keep it burning. It was just a constant maintenance that it took because it was meant to always be burning and shine. Reminds me a little bit of us. Always needing a refreshing, always needing something new, always needing that light. But this was different. This was different than the normal lampstand that is in the temple. See, the olive trees were connected, and they were functioning as olive oil, as an oil that was flowing constantly. It was no longer going to need a priest to do the religious works of trying to keep it going. It was going to be God who would provide from his precious word an overflowing oil that would never cease to cause the temple, to cause the lampstand, to cause his people to burn. So what are those olive trees? Just to go a little deeper, the Lord really spoke to my heart. There's two of them. We have the Old and we have the New Testaments. We have Old and the New Testament. It is the Word of God. The olive trees are the full counsel of the Lord. You can't have one without the other. You can't have a little bit of word and a little bit of world. It is the full counsel of God, the fullness of God's word that comes into the temple and makes it alive. It does a work that no man can do. It does a work that only the living word, the Lord Jesus Christ, can do in our lives. And we look at the world builds their lives on a temporary sustainment. Let's save some money. Let's get a good reputation and a good social status. Let's work. Let's work only to the day that we die to leave it all behind. Temporary sustainment, but the believer is different. The believer is sustained by an eternal sustainment. See, the believer, they find everything flowing from the oil of God. The believer is that lampstand that doesn't look anywhere else but to the left and to the right of the word of God that cups them. The believer knows that the word of God has everything they need for life and godliness, everything they need for work, everything they need for success, everything they need to truly build a temple. And it provides what they need for this life and the life to come. We have an eternal statement, and it is the word of God. See the provision that he has given to this church today. See the provision that has been flowing. I'm so thankful that we are in a church that has brought about the full preaching of the word of God. We have not left it out, not a little bit of word, not a little bit of the world, not a little bit of me, not a little bit of sin, but the word of God, uncompromised. And that word, I tell you, has provided enough light for us to change. It has caused enough light for us to turn and reverse the works of Satan, to reverse the works of Adam, and to become true temples lit up for God. A foundation not built on man, but built on the word. This means that no matter what, we hold on. And you know, we look at the world, and the world is falling apart one by one, literally. But you know what? Why the world is falling apart, we're going to be building. We're going to be building a temple. We will be building ourselves up, and we will be shining for God and showing the world that our God can do anything. Our God, with him, all things are possible. Even a temple in the most barren of land, God can bring it forth because of the oil of his word. We see the provision in our family for holiness. See the provision. You know, I'm thankful for the word that we've been connected to by our pastors, our family. Our parents had built a perfect foundation for a temple in our lives by the word. Paul says in Corinthians, if we remember, he said, you can't build on any other foundation. You can only build on the foundation that's been laid, the foundation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, it sheltered us. It sheltered my sisters and I. It shelters my wife and I. It has sheltered our family and protected us. The word of God without compromise has caused us to be temples of the living God. And I love the fact that from that flow, we can all receive today. From that flow, God will give you instruction to build your children up in the holy fear of God. God will give you everything that you need in order to live your lives and to do it the way that he's called you to do. He will protect you and your family from the flaming arrows of Satan because of the word that flows that will deflect anything that is not of God. There's such a peace that comes from the word that even in the midst of worldly turmoil, God will bring it forth by that living word. Some of you, for the first time in your life, you may be standing for God in your household. For some of you, it may be the first time you're beginning to build a temple for the Lord. The Word of God has every bit of flowing that you need. The Word of God has every bit of direction and wisdom that you have that you can make a place in your family and in your household to serve the Lord. For each of us, there is a provision. I look back, there's not one point in my life that God allowed me to run dry. You know, even in my worst hour, I can truly say today that God has fed me. God has kept me by the sustaining flow of oil from his word. And there is nothing, nothing that can compare to the goodness of God in my life from his word. It has held me left and right. It has carried my arms through the hardest of times. It's been oil in times of despair. The word of God has been a reconciliation for me to my Father. He has brought me back to the Father in heaven because of the reconciliation of the word that shows how to follow him and how to love him. Praise God this morning, the provision that the Father has made. He has made a way countless times in this church, and we know it because Jesus had died and he had given his body for us. The living word, Jesus Christ, he has given his body to make every provision for the church of God to be victorious. He's given everything that we need to be the temple of God. The past couple months, there's been some people I might not have seen in a long time, maybe from school, maybe people I weren't necessarily friends with, but acquainted with. And, you know, when you see people that you haven't seen in a while, the usual conversation occurs, you know, how you doing? What's going on? And there was a couple conversations where it had begun like that, and there was a couple times where some people would look at me and go, hey, you're still doing that church thing, aren't you? You're still praying. You're still trying to build something. You're still trying to be something, huh? You guys are still going. And with excitement, beyond anything else that was going on, I would say, yes. Yes, we are still building. Yes, I am still going. We're still praying. We're still seeking. We're still crying out. We're still worshiping, and it's not going to stop. And praise God that each of us have been receiving that flowing oil from God. And I was so thankful and rejoicing to say, God, not only has the flow been in my family, but it's been in this church. And it's a flow where we can say, yeah, the temple's still here. The temple's not going anywhere because it's been established on God. The temple is never going to cease because it is built on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the one who brings themselves into the flow of the living word will be strong, sturdy. You will not be moved. You will build your family and yourself as a temple of holiness that will not be shaken by the earthquake, not be shaken by the bills, not be shaken by the bad news that the world may try to give, but you will stand as the temple of God. God can extend this flow into your life, but will you receive the word? Will you come deeper into seeking him? Will you come into the council? Will you seek leadership that will give you the word? Will you seek those who are godly in your life to receive the word of God? Will you believe that his word is the provision that you need to be the temple that he is calling you to be today? Come in and see not only the vision that he gives, but see the provision of the word of God that flows as the precious olive oil of his spirit. Amen. Finally, we must see his power. Let's read verses 6 through 7. It says, so he said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty. What are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. Then he will bring out the capstones to shouts of God bless it, God bless it. We've heard this scripture many times, but we must understand what might and power is, because he says not by might and power. We do not want to build with the wrong foundation. We do not want to build with the wrong materials. We want to build with what God is giving us. And so, you know, when God says here, not by might, it is equivalent to an army. Now, we know that for hundreds of years, even now, countries are defined by their military power. How many missiles these guys have? How much nuclear possession do they have? You know, how large is their military? And that defines their wealth, their potential, and everything. But I want to tell you something. It means nothing to God. The power of all the armies of the world are nothing to the power of the Lord of Heaven's armies. There is nothing compared to Jehovah, the mighty one who is risen from the grave, who is above all things, the King of glory. He speaks of power, and when he says power here, it's largely related to wisdom. Not God's wisdom, but earthly wisdom, the wisdom that suggests how we should live our lives. You should do this. You should build this way, and all success will come to you. It's the books people may read to try and get their best life now. It's the books people try to get into, and all the worldly wisdom that Christians might sometimes get caught up in. And these things are also worthless before the Lord. They are futile. But he says it's by God's Spirit. His spirit is the power that moves that God people pray. It is the power of God to resurrect. It is the power of God to take a building that is in shambles, the temple, and resurrect it just as he resurrected his son. No matter how crumbled your life is today, no matter how impossible your situation is, no matter how crazy the world says you are to just come and worship and believe in God, I want to tell you that it is possible with the Lord. It is possible because it is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Israel faced a rebuilding of a temple that was crumbled to the ground. It was gone. And it was going to take the Spirit of God to resurrect it. It's the same way in our lives. This was representative of a man or woman who turns away from God, or somebody that allows the defilement to come into the temple. It falls apart, and there is not the right foundation that it is supposed to be standing on. Christians sometimes find themselves falling apart when they decide that they want to do it their way. They decide to fall apart and turn to rubble when they say, well, God, your word is good, but it's not good enough for me. I believe I can do it. And there's a bunch of I, but no God. We begin to build, rather than build up in the spirit, we tear down in the flesh. Can you relate to that today? So in order to reverse this, we've got to come back to the simplicity of God's power. God's power, His Spirit. And a large part of this is waiting on God. It's moving with God, moving with His Spirit. You see, when you move with God and you move with His Spirit, you disarm your might and you disarm your power, but you arm yourself with the Lord Almighty. What could we not do with God? We literally relinquish control. The Christian life is a life that is relinquishing control and allowing the Spirit of God to direct every step. That is the Christian life. And you know, as a family in our household, you know, we always learned what it was to move by the Spirit. We learned never to make a move without God. And I learned what it was not to. But every time it would be a, Jeff, you didn't follow the Lord. Who told you to do that one? It's awesome because despite the voices of the world that would tell us, you guys got to move. The voice of the world says, hurry up. What are you doing? We stop and say, we're going to hear from the Lord. And we would gather. I get the text from Pastor Jerry. We're meeting up at 6 today. I know it's Friday night, but we've got some prayer to do. And we'll pray. And I tell you, we've seen God move in ways I can never imagine. Ways that you can relate to and just see the power of the gospel. I've seen, as a result, certain things in my own family that I'm so thankful for. Because we move by the Spirit, the results of that, you know. I was thinking the past couple months, when we gather together, we love to talk about the Lord. We love to literally speak of His grace and the Word and all those different things. But it's become so common and such a blessing that we follow the Lord. It's been in every, even the simplest things in our lives. And I tell you this because it sounds funny, but there will be times I'll be at work. I may be a little tired, a little weary, or just like, Lord, help. You know, send Your Word. And you would think that sometimes, you know, God would open up the heavens. I'd see the light shine. You know, and all of a sudden the earth tremble and things would change. But all of a sudden I feel my cell phone move and it'd be Chris. Text message. Hey, Jeff, what are you doing Friday? But I could tell you one thing. Because He walks in the power of the Spirit, that simple text message would hit my spirit. And I'd be at work and I'd be going, not by might, not by my power. All of a sudden in my belly and in the deepest parts of me, it will be by the Spirit of the Lord. Amen. Just because of a common text message. And there's times I'll be in my house and I'll be seeking and crying out to God, Father, speak to me. Jessica, hey, Jeff, did you read this article? It's really funny. Whoa, hallelujah. I just heard from somebody, you know, even in the simplest of words, the Spirit of God just jolted into my heart. I remember one specific time being in a mechanic shop. My Jeep was a little messed up. I remember being stuck there for an hour or two in the morning. And I wasn't completely bummed out, but I was just like, oh, man, I'm going to be stuck here for an hour. But whatever, you know. God, whatever you're going to do, you do. Phone rings. Pastor Jerry. Hey, Pastor Jerry. Hey, you need a ride or anything? No, I'm good. You know, I'm only going to be here maybe an hour. They're possibly going to figure it out. No big deal. You need any money? No, I'm good. You want an egg McMuffin? And all of a sudden, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you know what? Can't say this any more serious. My Jeep could have blown up that day, and I'd still be praising the Lord over the egg McMuffin that He offered me. And it's because, you know, when we move in the Spirit of God, and this is not just for our family, this is for the people of God to come into and move in. When this is what the temple of God is, it's a place of joy. It is a place of love. It is a place that in every circumstance or situation, God is there. Even when you're just talking, even when you're just sitting down, God is there. And I am so blessed to say today, praise God that when you move by His Spirit, He will give you everything and you will build a temple. You will build on a foundation that cannot be shaken, and it will be shown to the world the love and the goodness of God. Can you taste and see how sweet it is to build with the Lord? Isn't it just so tasteful? Isn't it so awesome? Have you moved in the Spirit? Have you moved by the power of God? God says to all of us, not by might or power, but by my Spirit. He says, come into it today. Relinquish control. Relinquish control and let God take over. It's very powerful. The scripture said, who are you, mighty mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you will become level ground. And I love this part because there's always a mountain. When God's people are on a mission, the mountains always show up. But the beautiful thing here is Zerubbabel. He represents the Lord Jesus Christ. Because He is the one that is going to level out the mountain. He is the one who moved and walked according to the Spirit and power of God. And there's something major for us to catch here. The Jews, they had, up to this point in history, built two temples, two major temples. The first temple destroyed, the second temple destroyed, there's all rubble left. Two temples. There was never a third temple built. They no longer exist. And again, this represents the lives of somebody who has followed into sin and they've defiled their lives and have fallen away. When there's sin, death comes in. And death is a mountain. Death is a mountain that no man in their own strength could ever overcome. It is the biggest mountain many of us will ever have to face. But then Jesus steps on the scene. He's the one that stood in front of the temple. He looked at the Pharisees and he said, listen, tear this temple down and I'll build it up in 3 days. And the Pharisees, they began to snarl and they said, who is this man? Because they couldn't see. They were thinking of their own power. They were thinking of the power of the man. They said, who do you think you are? You can't build this temple. It takes 70 years. But they didn't see the fact that Jesus was not going to do it by might. He was not going to do it by power, but he was going to do it by the Spirit of God. He wasn't talking about a physical building. He was talking about his own body that was the temple of the living God. He was the one that was crucified, but on the third day, he rose and he defeated death, hell, and the grave. And there's a reason that the Jews never built a third temple. And I want you to catch this with me today. It's because the third temple is going to be a different temple than all the other ones. The temple of God is the church of God. The temple is the church, the body of God. And I want to tell you, because we are the third day church, we are the third temple that is built not by might, not by power, but by my strength and by my spirit, says the Lord. Just as the Lord Jesus rose on the third day, we will be the third day church that will not cease to exist. We will be the third day church that will be the temples of God that will walk in holiness. Despite what the world throws, we will stand uncompromised. And God is calling you today. He's saying, come in. We have defeated death by the power of the Lord Jesus. The mountains have been leveled and Jesus has made a way. Oh, death, where is thy sting? We have the victory. We have overcome it all because our Lord has overcome all by the power of the vision that he's given us in the word of God, and by his mighty presence, we will stand as the lampstand. Zerubbabel has become the capstone. That means he is the finalization. Jesus is the beginning and the end. He's the one who started it. He will be the one to bring this to completion. He will bring it to completion in our lives, and we will shout, God bless it. God has done it. God can make a way where there's no way. God can build where the enemy said, you will never build. God will open the doors that the enemy said, I'm shutting. I'm reminded of a preacher. He had a friend come from China, a Christian brother. He had him come to just check out his church and to see what was happening. And so after many services and programs and just some time with the church and with this man, this Chinese man was just sitting back and acknowledging and seeing how the American church was functioning and growing and what they were doing. So by the end of this time, this man looks to his friend and he goes, so what do you think so far? What do you think of the American church? What do you think of what we've been building and doing? And the Chinese man, grieved, stops and says, I'm amazed on how much the American church can build and accomplish without God. And we are called not to be like the old temples, caught up in religion, just doing things to do them. We are called not to walk by the power of man. We are called to stand on the word of God. We are going to build not by our own might or power, but by the Spirit of God. We are called, church, today to be the temple. And God is saying, do you see what you are meant to be? Do you see what I'm calling you out as my temple? We have to remind ourselves that every provision has been made for us to do what God has called us to do, to build. See the channel from God bringing oil to you, even now, see the channel of the oil of the Word of God. What can we not accomplish by His Spirit? What could we not do? How could we not build? God is calling the church today to build the foundation, to be the temple of holiness, to be the temple. There may have been some defiling in our lives. We've chosen to allow the darkness in. We've gone backward. Will you turn today? Will you repent? Will you go into the temple and allow God to take out those defiling things and to bring in His presence? Some of us today have been building and building, but we haven't succeeded because we haven't been building God's way. Trying to do it our way, we don't want to hear it. No, we don't want to do it that way. Don't give me truth. This is my life. This is going to be the way I build it. We can reverse that even now by coming into the Lord and turning, relinquishing the control. God, take over. Allowing our lives to be led by the Word of God. Will you sacrifice yourself today to be a temple that one day children will come into, that one day people will come to find the living God? we're singing this song, Holy. And the temple of God is a place of holiness. It's holy. Now, when we hear holy, I know we've heard this, but we have to remind ourselves, holy means set apart. Set apart by Jesus. The Lord Jesus sets us apart as a temple of the living God. He is in the business of making and building on the foundations of the Word. Will you come today? Holy. Let's just bring our hearts to the Lord even now. Let's bring the temples to the Lord. Bless you, God. Holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty who was and is to come. His temples will be holy as He is holy. Father, I thank you that we will live a life of praise. Father, I thank you that we are the temples of God. I thank you that we are temples of holiness, that we are temples of praise. We are a place where the living God dwells. We are the place of glory. We are the place where the living God dwells forevermore. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, as we come into this song, God, we just want to declare that we shall live a life of praise. We shall be the temples of God, and we shall give you glory and love you in every way, Father, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Because I know I'm a temple, and I know that I'm not the only temple. Amen. Praise God. I just want to pray and bless the church. Father, I thank you so much for the word of the Lord that has brought me life, brought us life, our families, God, in this very church. Father, I pray that this week that the building would not cease, but the building, even for those who are just beginning, that it would take off, Father, that we would rise, that there would be a monument, that there would be monuments and living temples of God this week. Father, bless the temple. May your glory be with your people, and may you dwell with them, and may you speak to them continually, even this very hour. Bless them, and thank you. Father, we praise you in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.